What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It is November 1st, 2021. Oh my God, it's November 1st. It's a Fightful post show for WWE Raw. We are here to talk about a really good Raw. We're not going to talk football. We're going to talk Monday Night Raw. That's what you all came to see. We got Denise Salcedo here. Denise, how you doing?
I'm doing marvelous, Sean. Today's the greatest day of my life after yesterday. Sean, I gotta tell you, I'll just be honest with you, Sean. I really thought that I was gonna have to sit through yesterday, sit through today, being mocked at, being the butt of the joke. And turns out it's you, because the Jets embarrassed.
Just mute Denise. She's not the butt of the joke. She's just a butt.
They defeated your pathetic team, the Bungles. Sean. Number of playoff wins between the Denise and the Bungles since I was born in 1992, zero. I'm not done yet.
You know, it's weird that some of the Jets uniforms had stripes on them yesterday as well, which is very, very interesting. I gotta say, I was very impressed by the Jets because their Halloween costumes were great. They went as a team that didn't suck ass for one day, and I was very impressed by that.
The Bungles have been sucking for thousands and thousands and hundreds of millions of years forever, Sean.
I sucked for like 3 or 4 years. Let's mute Denise.
3 or 4 years, Sean. Sean. Yeah.
She doesn't even know she's muted. It's magical.
I have a million fun facts, Sean, and I can unmute myself.
No, that's okay. That's okay. We've got WWE Raw to talk about tonight. Leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap that bell for notifications. You can send in super chats. It'll get your question or statement read on the air. Anakin says, never forget, Denise skipped Arthur Ashe to watch the Jets lose.
And I made more money!
Cyclops says, how do y'all beat the Ravens but lose the Jets? Well, if you go back and you watch the helmet-to-helmet call at the end of the game, you'll see how, my friends.
Sean, be more like Rick Uchino. It is terribly
embarrassing. Why? Defeated? Bro. Sad? Bro. Tired? Exhausted? Why do I want to be more like him? I'm just going to keep muting you as long as you yell in my ear,
Sean,
about this.
I got a fun fact. Let me pull it out, please. Do not mute me so I can get my fun fact.
Luis says a pure rule match, a pure rules match on Raw. Honor is real, damn it. What? All right. What do you want to say, Denise? Get it over with.
I just want to get my I have a bunch of fun facts. Here's the first one. Okay. So your beloved Bungles. This is the first team in the season to blow a 10-point lead, Sean. 10-point lead with less than 5 minutes to play. I have more. I'm going to be pulling them out through the rest of the show. And I even wrote some down. Also, call Mike White daddy.
Listen, if you want to call White Mike your daddy, have at it.
Remember when you used this one on me, Sean?
Yeah, I did.
Remember when you were feeling all brave and shit? Remember that, Sean. Remember when you were feeling...
Let's just remove Denise from the entire podcast. So right now, you can head over to FightfulMag.com. Look at that. Oh, you all see my dinner plate over there and my water jug. Check out the new Fightful magazine at FightfulMag.com. Cover story, Darby Allin, wrestling's next enigmatic star. I've got an interview with Dominic Mysterio. Taylor Hendricks did a great tribute to Daphne Unger. We got Shaza McKenzie writing in the Wrestler's Tribune, retro gaming, wrestling mega fans, the return of Becky Lynch, a lot more. Go to FightfulMag.com. You guys are going to love it. Plus the mailbag, all that good stuff. Denise, are you done? We've got work to do.
Yeah, and nobody cares because this was a terrible show today. Sorry,
no, I thought it was good.
I completely disagree with your take. I actually thought you were being sarcastic when I read your tweet.
No, I enjoyed Raw tonight. I thought it was good. I mean, it wasn't like all good or anything, but...
Sean, are you on the payroll?
Yeah,
who's your source? I need to know.
Who's my... That's going to take a long time.
Who's paying you? I need to know so that I can get on the payroll too.
You're about to be off our payroll. If you don't shut the hell up.
I was supposed to be off yesterday.
Anyway, we've got plenty of stuff to talk about tonight. Leave a thumbs up. Please donate a super chat to get your question or statement read on the air. Anakin says, Denise, one game does not make a team better. At least that's what I keep telling myself after Michigan, Michigan State. Shauna Walensky says, Denise, I have two words for you. Butt fumble. They won one game, not the Super Bowl.
That's fine.
Go Patriots.
But here's the thing. Sean, you came in. You were the one who started it last week. You were all like, so Denise, do you know what next week is? And I was like, what?
You didn't even know.
Yeah, I forgot.
Because you're a Fairweather fan and you just got muted. Your quarterback, unmuted. The Jets are best known in the last decade for fumbling the ball off of their own lineman's asshole, Denise. Wow. I mean,
am I unmuted now?
Yeah. Good, Sean, good for White Mike.
Sean, you were so confident that the Bengals were going to win.
Everybody
you were
was.
Ready to mock me. You were ready to make
never.
Me. Yeah, you would. If this would be you right now, you would be celebrating so freaking hard. And you know what? I would have just been here, sitting here. And you know what? I would have taken it. I wouldn't have been all complaining on the helmet, on the mud fumble. I won.
Denise, you don't know what a helmet is. Your big ass head could not fit into a helmet. So you don't even know what one is. Juan Ortiz says, when Sean versus Denise going to happen? Full gear or WrestleMania next year? Here's what will happen. I'll tell Denise I'll film a skit at both of those and then not film it either time. Kyle Collins says, Bill's going to do the Jets in 2 weeks. What Priest did to T-Bar tonight. And Nerd Guru says, Magic Mike White Lightning is goated. No matter your opinion of Becky being a heel, this is the best we've seen of her in-ring. So much new stuff. Well, let's talk about that. We start with a Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair. It's the video and the promo and all that. And then we get a match. Now, instinctively, Denise, when we hear this is kicking off Monday Night Raw, everybody thinks the same thing. Well, this is going to be a screwy finish and they'll just finish it off. However, as reported on FightfulSelect.com tonight, ahead of the show, not the plan at all. Big E, Kevin Owens was going to main event. This was not going to be a finish like that. I loved this match. This match felt like a pay-per-view match to me. Becky gets the win with the exposed turnbuckle and rolling up Bianca Belair. Were you being a hater alligator for this one?
No, this was actually one of my favorite parts of Raw. I thought this was actually very, very good. There was a lot that I liked. Did you want to go over it or should I just start talking about everything that I liked?
Go over what you liked, yeah.
Okay, fine. So what I really liked about this match is the fact that, okay, first and foremost, here's where I want to start at though. Okay, I did not like this match as much as I liked the Charlotte Bianca match. I did think that the Charlotte Bianca match was better than this match, but this match, what I really liked about it was the fact that we basically got to see Bianca Belair come out and she was just doing like, just basically showing off all of like her power moves and pretty much manhandling Becky Lynch. Now, the one thing that did take away from me from this match was because given that the entire match, Bianca Belair had the upper hand, it kind of felt to me like it was, I mean, I already knew that Becky Lynch was going to win. Like I wasn't expecting Becky Lynch to lose whatsoever, but still, like I think the way that the match went, the way that the match progressed, I obviously knew that Bianca Belair was going to get screwed somehow. And I was expecting some sort of faulty finish. Now, I was expecting more of maybe like a DQ or just something like that. So I am kind of glad that in a way that didn't happen at least. But there was just like a lot that I like. For example, at the beginning, we saw Bianca Belair essentially like carrying and like spinning Becky Lynch and just basically like, again, like I said, just like manhandling her. I like the standing moonsault that she did. That was really nice. I like the suplex that she did on Becky, the tug of war that she did with her hair where she like let go and her face just like went right into the post. Her slamming her on the commentary table. And it was just like a lot of different stuff that they did here that I personally enjoyed. Was it as good as the Charlotte Flair match? No, but it was still a really good match.
I would love if WWE kicked off Raw with more banger matches like this. Like, The videos, the 6 minute entrances, the talking and all that stuff. All right. Okay. I'd rather start off with some action for a while because and people can say, oh, well, it's been done the other way so long. Yeah. And look where what's happened with viewership as a result. It's in the toilet relatively compared to where it used to be. So I want to see more of this. I think that Bianca and Becky work so well together. You can't tell that Becky took a year and a half off. Cyclops is better than Wolverine, says Bianca keeps losing. Made me quit Raw for the night. It's getting tough, Denise. Like,
but if she's losing in a fashionable way, I mean, come on. This entire match, she dominated the entire match. And I prefer, I honest, because, okay, this is one of the things that I've been saying on all of these shows where it's like you hate, like, these DQ finishes that we see all the time, right? These interferences that we see. Okay, there's been so many times on these shows where I'm like, you know what? I rather see somebody, like, you know, put forth a great match, look good in that match, and lose in, you know, a more respectable manner than essentially, you know, have a good match and then have it end in some way where you're just like, well, the last 10 minutes of my life didn't matter.
Well, that's unfortunately what they've conditioned a lot of people to think about Bianca matches, which shouldn't happen with somebody that talented. Let's go back to SummerSlam. Here's her history since SummerSlam. Lost in 26 seconds. She then won the Fatal 4-Way Elimination match that week. That was great. That was awesome. That's the only pinfall victory she has since SummerSlam. That's it. Bianca and Becky went to a no contest at Extreme Rules. Sasha beat her on SmackDown. Went to a DQ against Charlotte the first go around. No contest in the Can They Coexist tag match. DQ against Charlotte. Then it was Becky winning at Crown Jewel. Then this. She has won one match via pinfall or submission since losing in 26 seconds. That doesn't instill a lot of confidence in the audience. And I know WWE thinks, oh, this is how we get them over. This is how we get them over. We screw them over. We screw them over. Well, not when you have her go out there and complain. She doesn't need to complain. She needs to whip people's asses. She needs to submit people. She needs to pin people. I like the direction they're kind of leaning on Drew on SmackDown. It's not going to get me super excited for him to have a title match, but they're having him beat people clean, pin them. And I just wish they would do that. But it doesn't seem like they're that keen on it. Kyle says, Belair Lynch was fantastic. I'm fed up with roll-up finishes. Seen them happen way too much. Yeah, I would have liked a different pin besides the roll-up with the tights. Like, give me another pin and Becky holding the ropes or something.
I do want to nitpick something, and I know that we see this a lot, and we see a lot of, like, you know, heels do this, and I know that obviously, you know, Becky's doing it, but the one thing that I didn't like about this match, where it's like, okay, you have Bianca essentially, like, dominating her throughout the entire match. I did think that it took forever for Bianca to start showing some frustration, where, like, she should have been showing frustration way before, to the point that she actually did. And then I don't like that they make Becky kind of look dumb in this, in the sense where, like, she did, like, one move, and I forgot what it was on Bianca, and all of a sudden she goes for the pin and she's so shocked when she doesn't get it. And I'm like, Becky, you're a heel, but you're not dumb. Like, we all know you weren't going to get the win there. And I didn't like that portion of the match because I thought that it really kind of slowed the match down, but then it picked right back up. So for the most part, I thought that this was a really good way to open up Raw. This was one of the highlights of the show for me.
Cyclops says, don't care how she loses. She's been losing for 4 months. That's what a lot of people see. Nerd Guru says that Becky, along with Bayley and Sasha, are best at putting over talent and defeat. Like, honestly, she's so good at being an in-ring general. Yes, she is. She's outstanding at it. And Money Mark says 26-second loss, no revenge, great storytelling. That's my issue. They took somebody they had built up. That's why, Denise, when I said, I think it was earlier this year, it was before SummerSlam, Vince McMahon doesn't build new stars. And people said, oh, Bianca. And I was like, wait a second. Like, we're taking a 7-month sample size of a year and a half. Now more than that. She's been up there on the main roster for 20 months now. And like 7 or 8 of those 20 months have been booked well, Denise. Like, that's it.
And that's the other thing, and I'm going to talk about this more once we actually get to the women's tag team match, because I feel like that's where I have to bring it up. But we just go back to, like you just mentioned, having Bianca beat all of these girls. Okay, great. But the problem is none of these other girls have been built up. If she beats, I don't know, Dana Brooke or something, is it going to mean anything? No, because they haven't, you know, built those people up. And she's just an example, but there's plenty of more examples where it's like, if you don't build other women up, like, that's why we had to get Becky versus Bianca today, because there wasn't anything else. What other options are there?
Oh boy, are we about to get to that? So Liv Morgan pops up, and I love Liv Morgan. I think she's really good in the ring, but Becky's backstage saying, I do whatever it takes to hold on to the title. She can get in the back of the line. I need some new people. Then Liv Morgan pops up. Well, there are two people Liv Morgan and Apollo Crews, who showed up and challenged for titles tonight, that won on Main Event. You would never know it because they never reference Main Event on this show. Apollo beat John Morrison on Main Event. That's a good win. I'll talk about that later. Liv got a win on tonight's Main Event. They won't reference it. So, to most people, they just look like people who have lost to Carmella twice in a row or Nakamura 8 times in a row. And that sucks because you can just have them ready, have them win matches. That's what Main Event is for. That's what the undercard is for. Just have, like, did Liv really need to lose 2 matches in a row to Carmella? She couldn't have just won that feud?
See, and I get your point about Main Event. I truly, truly get your point. But here's the problem and why that doesn't, like, to me, why it doesn't matter. Because it's like, okay, let's say someone is getting all these wins on Main Event. They've made Main Event mean absolutely nothing. They have never, I mean, maybe aside from Mansoor, who else have they actually said, like, oh, this is what they did on Main Event? Anybody else?
Did they even mention the Mansoor thing?
No, hell no. They defeated for 40-something matches.
They completely no-sold his winning streak.
Are you sure?
They no-sold his winning streak and then beat him the second week he was on the show. Like, I don't even think they mentioned it at all.
I thought they did. And this was commentary mentioned the streak, didn't they?
I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. But, I mean, this was the show that had the Wyatt family versus the Shield at one point. Main Event did.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen one episode of Main Event in my life, Sean. I'm sorry.
Surely you watched the Wyatt family and the Shield when it was on there.
I did not watch Main Event at all.
You didn't? That
I
match.
Mean, I've seen clips of stuff, but, like, I have not watched a Main Event show.
That's worth you going back and watching. That was, like, one of the best WWE TV matches ever. But just say Liv won a match on Main Event against Tamina. Just say it. Let people know it exists. Like, why do they act like it? It's so weird. It's like that show's living in the basement, chained up, and they're feeding it every once in a while, but they don't want anybody to know about it.
That's what I'm saying. I would not have known had you just told me right now. Exactly. I had no idea she beat Tamina on Main Event until right now, this second, I just found out.
Yep. Oh, man, we've got a bunch of super chats. Nacho Man Normie Summer says, we're getting Bianca, Becky at least 2 more times with Liv Morgan sprinkled in. Probably a coexistence tag team match. Queso Blanco on my nachos tonight, in case you were wondering. Stay juicy. Yeah, I imagine we'll probably get that as well. Bad One Jambeard says, Bianca is losing so much. This feud's killed a lot of my interest in her. Now she needs to stay away from Becky for a while. And she's a top star. She'll have to wrestle Becky. That's how they have people slotted. Richie Goodacre says, Bianca, Becky, no DQ after ref clearly sees the turnbuckle. Ray gets DQ'd when the ref saw nothing. This was puzzling. Well, the ref did see.
He didn't. When they showed the replay, he was like, it was all happening behind him. I'm like, unless his eye goes Ray? All the way back there, the angle in which the camera was, it almost looked like the referee didn't see anything.
Well, I mean, also the ref shouldn't be stupid either. I think they should be smarter. But yeah, I mean, as far as the exposed turnbuckle, there's a bit of a precedence of that not being a DQ there. But Volob says, that's right, pal. I came here for Monday Night Football Talk, not Monday Night Raw, because F all that happened on that show. No, I didn't hate it. Jambeard.
Let's do this show with Alex now, Sean.
Jambeard says, Main Event meaning nothing while dark helps lead to title feuds. Just another point to show AEW's booking is better. Denise, how many times have you heard people say, oh, they just pad people's records on dark? It's fake. It's not a real show. That's the purpose of the show, is to pad the records. And because, like, somehow we are told that that should be worse than them just completely ignoring the records. No, get people reps, get people wins, let them do their really cool moves and crush people. You don't get it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think that that's a good way to, like you said, give people wins, help people get better, and just, like, over. And here's the thing, though, is that they do mention, you know, stuff about, you know, fun facts from Dark on, you know, on Rampage and Dynamite and all of that. And, like, not very often, but every
There's
now and then they have the crawl with the results and everything. Yeah, ever so often, if it counts, they put it in there. But I just think that, like, that's the thing, though, is that they've actually told the story, though, that dark actually means something, and that dark elevation means something. And you see it because you see guys that you don't normally use. Let's say you don't watch Dark and Dark Elevation, right? And then you see these guys get these opportunities with some of the bigger, you know, bigger names on the roster. And you're like, well, why is this guy getting a title not a title shot, but why is this guy getting an opportunity in this match? Oh, well, you know, he did all of this, this and that on Dark and Dark Elevation. All right, cool. I understand. Moving on, you know?
Brandon Rosen says, wins and losses don't matter in WWE, so why would we expect them to reference main event? Okay, I want to address this. All due respect, Brandon. It is so weird to me when people say, why do you expect? Oh, you act surprised. No, I don't expect them to. No, I'm not surprised. I had somebody on their Patreon exit survey says, Sean acts surprised when WWE booking sucks. No, I'm not surprised. I want them to do better. I like, what do you expect me to do? Come here completely apathetic after sitting through 3 hours of Raw every Monday and be like, well, guys, this sucks some more. Oh my God. No, I want it to be better. I want this to be good. Like,
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Someone really put that on their exit survey?
Yes, it's the weirdest, most apathetic bullshit I've ever heard. Yes, I want this to be better. Yes, tomorrow I want Vince McMahon to wake up and say, God damn it, pal. You know what? I would like main event to start mattering a little bit. It doesn't have to be must watch, but maybe we can do it to get people some wins and then reference it on Raw.
Well, that's the thing. If you're wasting time and effort and all of that into main event, you might as well make it be something and incorporate it into the show, at least just a tad bit.
Yep. Cyclops says, I have loathed Becky since the heel turn. Big yikes. Well, we got a bunch of main event comments, too. Anakin says, that's why people comparing Dark to main event is always stupid. Dark matters. Britt got her title shot because of Dark. Omega as champ wrestled a tag. I mean, they could have a lot of people wrestle on that show, get wins. That's all it takes. Just put them on the show. Kyle says, talking about main event and them not mentioning it makes AEW constantly referencing Dark and Dark Elevation even more important. And KE775 says, WWE should make main event more meaningful so they can showcase talent not on the show like Cross, Lee, and Knox. T-Bar should have been featured more. He's great that way. You can present talent better. I mean, that's all you got to say is Apollo Crews picked up a few wins on main event. That's it.
Sean, I just remembered that I need to say that, like, why are we expecting a mention though of main event when you have people being called up from NXT, you know, to the Raw SmackDown roster, and we hear nothing of their accolades? They could have been building up all these accolades for Keith Lee. They could have mentioned that he was a double champion. Did they even mention that?
Vince barely watches that show.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's something that you would mention, though. So I could be like, oh, man, this guy was a double champion. Hell, you know, I don't watch NXT, but I'm going to pay attention to this guy. You know, there's people out there like that. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, they're not going to make any mentions of this, you know, whatever guys and accolades they have on NXT. Why are we expecting them to do that for main event?
Western Kentucky's Mike White says they should treat main event like AEW treats Dark. Maybe recap it for 30 seconds on Raw. They have 3 hours to fill. I don't even care if they recap it. Just acknowledge that it exists. That's it. Lots of Jets super chats. Mike White again says Raw was decent, but Sean, it wasn't as glorious or grand as that Jets victory yesterday. Kenshiro says, this might be the only time you ever hear me say this, but for the love of God, start talking about Raw. Tim Drake says, great to see a New York Jets fan on a Fightful Raw review. Go Jets. She's dressed as one for Halloween. She doesn't know shit about the Jets.
You're just mad, Sean. You're just mad.
I mean, I am. Yeah, that was miserable. Jambeard says, Sean, the refs have been making bad calls all year for every team. That's hardly an excuse for a first-place team to lose to a craptacular team. Nah, buddy, you did not watch that call if you're saying that. That was one of the most egregiously bad helmet-to-helmet calls in the history. Let's hit the mute. One of the worst helmet-to-helmet calls in the history of the NFL, as repeated by literally every analyst. And also, let's get Denise out there. Also, doesn't matter how good or bad your team is, you win by 1 point, you lose by 1 point, that's it. Doesn't matter how good or bad they are.
So your team's been bad for centuries, bro. They don't even have a Super Bowl.
They haven't existed for centuries. Oh, my God. You're so obnoxious. CM says, friendly reminder that less than 10 days ago, the Jets lost by 41 points.
Yeah, and it makes the Bungles losing them.
To the Patriots with their own rookie QB.
It's more embarrassing for you.
Let's mute this. Mr. Andrew says, people want Roman to be the champ for years, but I worry it ends with him losing to an established part-timer. They haven't built anyone up to beat him. Denise, I don't think that's necessarily a red flag. They're going to have a part-timer beat him.
What was the question?
Maybe if you'd listen, you would know.
I can. You keep muting.
Me muting you doesn't mean you can't hear me.
No,
Denise.
But it loses my focus, so I stop paying attention.
Do you think they're setting up Roman Reigns to lose to a part-timer? I don't think him losing is even in the cards yet at all. And Jam Beard says, I agree, the call was one of the worst all year, but never should have been that close in the first place. Doesn't matter. Win by one, lose by one. That's all it takes. Orlando says, I got to say, I thought Raw was good tonight. Love Becky versus Sasha, or I think you mean Becky versus Bianca. Good match between KO and Big E. They're not a sponsor tonight. Please put that down. Good match between KO and Big E.
Sean, are your feelings hurt right now?
No, you're annoying, Denise.
Sean, your feelings are hurt.
Denise, you know what you remind me of? You remind me of a woman who flew from LA to New York to watch a Jets
game.
Sean,
isn't that sad that's the only attack you have on me? You're reaching now.
It's a hell of an attack, Denise. You flew to watch the Jets lose 3 days before Danielson and Omega. People are going to turn off this show, Denise. Let's talk about wrestling.
Then your team should have won, and people wouldn't be turning off the show.
Oh, my God. This is painfully annoying. Muted. Macho Man Normie Summers says, why can't they cut back on promos and have Bearcat T-Bar wrestle for 10 minutes? Does Vince even know how good that shit is? Denise, Bearcat wasn't even on the show tonight.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, that seems like a pretty rough follow-up.
Well, you know what? Well, I was gonna say it. You know what? They don't have to always put everything on every show, but then again, it is a 3-hour show, so they do have time. So never mind. I take back that argument.
Pedro says, I want to cry. I do, because this is the worst review show we've ever done. Kinshiro says, who gets what after the divorce? Denise can keep all that horrible Jets bullshit. That's for sure. We got Sean. People cheering for the Patriots. Denise wearing Jets merch, but she lives in LA. That's because she's a fair weather fan.
Hey, Sean. What? I got some fun facts. You ready for one?
No, I'm ready to review this show so I can go to bed before 2 a.m.
Sean, you were 5 years old. Last time the Bengals.
Yeah, let's not disclose personal information on the stream, please. Jambeard says, hello, I am Springsteen. Nerd Guru says, why has no one mentioned Survivor Series? We are 3 weeks away from Survivor Series, and there is no mention of the show. There's no mention of... There have been passing mentions over who faces who, but that's it. We don't have any, real hype for this. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's been like that for the last couple of pay-per-views. I mean, aside from SummerSlam, I don't remember the last pay-per-view that had any hype.
I mean, they 2 years ago, they had the big invasion angle with NXT that they fell into.
Well, that was pretty good. But in terms of they need to switch it up, one of the big arguments that we had during Survivor Series season was that there was really no stakes. It was just the brand supremacy thing, but that was not enough. And even when you have, for example, you know, an entire Raw, I mean, an entire brand dominating Survivor Series. And then even afterwards, there's no mention of that whatsoever. What's the point?
We've got the 24/7 segment backstage. Reggie doing more parkour. Even this is getting old to me, Denise. Like, I liked it a lot at first, and then they just took him off TV for like a month and a half. I like that he's popping up on SmackDown too, but this is getting old. I can only watch so many of these. Here's the thing. Whatever Drake Maverick's plan was, it's been 2 months. It ain't working.
Yeah, this was not good. I think in terms of all of... See, this is... Okay, so the Reggie thing was good because for a while, they were going outside to different locations. They were having them do all this flippy stuff, this TikTok flippy stuff. And now it's just kind of... I think the last few weeks, it's been pretty much the exact same thing. The jumping on the truck, jumping off the truck, jumping off the truck in the backstage area. And then this one today, this one was probably the most simplest one they've done where... Because usually, even for like the last couple of weeks, I'll be, you know, be watching these segments whenever they do them. And I'll at least be like, oh, wow, like that was pretty cool. Like, all right, cool for Reggie. You know, that was pretty dope. This time I was like, all right, that was not anything really special. So if you're going to do it, you got to really blow people's minds when you do stuff like that.
And they did not do that here. We got Rey Mysterio against Austin Theory. Okay, so this wasn't like a great match or anything. I loved the torture rack breaker that Austin Theory did, but the camera cut away. There were a couple of production things that were totally Bush League on this show, and this was one of them. They just kept cutting away, and the match ends when Dominic hits Austin Theory in the face, and the ref, you say that the ref couldn't have possibly seen it, admittedly.
No, they showed it in the replay.
Okay. So, I mean, admittedly.
Look like he was looking.
Admittedly, I wasn't looking that close either, but Dominic gets Ray DQ'd, and I'm glad. I mean, you don't see baby faces get DQ'd like this very often. I like it. They're setting up friction between Ray and Dominic very, very clearly. But Austin Theory keep on getting wins. I'm glad they're not like 50-50ing here. Now, granted, him losing to Rey Mysterio wouldn't have hurt him at all. Rey Mysterio is a legend, but what'd you think of all this?
All right, so first and foremost, this was not a bad match, okay? This was definitely better than doing Austin Theory versus Dominic Mysterio. So at least Rey Mysterio versus Austin Theory was pretty, it was okay. It was pretty entertaining. You know, like I've said before, Austin Theory, like he can have a good match if he's in there with a good opponent. And obviously Rey Mysterio is a great opponent. But the problem here is I just didn't have any interest in this storyline. Really, that was the thing that kind of took me away from the show and started taking me away from the show. And I also feel like I can't recall, and I'm sure other people can probably, you know, kind of correct me on this one, but I don't recall the last time Rey Mysterio has had a match, a singles match this long by himself. Like, this was the longest I feel like I've seen Rey Mysterio in a singles match and like on TV in like a while. And I'm sure he's had other ones, but I don't remember. Like, in recent time, I do not remember. And then in terms of the finish, I missed the finish the first time. I was like, wait, what? Why is there a DQ? Then when they did the replay, I was like, what are you talking about? The referee wasn't even looking. The angle that they showed, and that's why there was like, there was a pause too. So the referee, you know, so he slaps him, right? So Dominic slaps him. And then when he did that, the referee's back was like this, and Dominic was like all the way back there. And you can kind of see the ref like this. So, I mean, unless his eye was like all over there, like it really wasn't that obvious.
I need this guy reffing Jets games.
It wasn't
ASAP. ASAP.
See, Sean, this is what I mean. You want me to be
muted. Kate says, Dominic wearing Ray as a backpack? Cringe. Almost as cringe as Denise. I'm liking the threading of the story. Like, this story doesn't take too long. It doesn't take up too much time on the show. It's a progression. Austin Theory's getting some wins. Dominic isn't getting wins, and he's upsetting his father. So I'm as a lower card story, I'm fine with this.
Well, also, it's not realistic.
Why not?
You want to know why? Because If I would have cost my mom that match, my ass would have been beat with the goddamn chancla, okay? And Rey Mysterio was like, it's okay after. So I was like, bruh, yeah. This ain't a real Latino family. That's not what would have happened. They would have been like, pendejo, mira lo que hiciste, cabrón.
Fair point. Luis says, me every time I see Rey's shirt, Wu-Tang. Jambeard says, did you guys see Ryback's tweet about Vince? And I don't give a shit about what Ryback tweets. All due respect, I could not possibly give a shit. Him tweeting, me caring, could not be me at all.
Did you talk about Mansoor's tweet, his response to Ryback?
Mansoor hosed him.
That was great.
Mansoor was a very popular person that got sent to me multiple times by people on the roster. Ryback also blocked me for some reason. So whatever. Good for him. If it helps his Twitter experience. Nerd Guru says, want to build true Survivor Series hype? Have Braun Breaker come out and deck Roman Reigns. Have Ciampa deck Big E. Throw rainbow paint. I mean, legitimately, if Braun Breaker would have won the NXT title and then came out and like stared down Roman Reigns, I would have gone batshit crazy over that. I would have been like, oh my, it's the new Roman. It's him. Like, I would have loved it. Now, a lot of people wouldn't have, but, yeah. Brandon Charles Powell says, Drake Maverick would just have us let it play out. No, thank you, bro.
I still get those comments, the let it play out, and I'm like, all right.
Only sarcastically do I get them anymore.
Oh.
Anakin says, did you see the excerpt in Mox's book about Kevin Dunn? Buddy, I sure did. And I guess now's a good time to mention for the last 7 months I've been working on a Kevin Dunn feature, and I've spoken to like 12 wrestlers about it. So there's some good stuff.
Someone tagged me in that because I haven't seen it.
Oh boy. He went in on Kevin Dunn. He really did.
Someone tag me, please. No one tagged me in the good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's in his book. I'm gonna buy it. Very excited. We've got JW Pringle. Actually, that's for another segment, but we've got the Veer promo. Mahan is his name, I believe. Is this doing anything for you?
I missed this. I was washing dishes, but I heard like they were teasing somebody, and I was like, I'll sit down and find out right now. And then I saw somebody tweet about Veer, and I was like, oh, it was about Veer, but I missed the actual thing. But was it the same thing they did the week before where they said Veer's coming to Raw? Did they change his name?
Same thing. They added like Mahan to it as well.
So it's Veer Mahan now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm kind of glad that they added him. I don't like the one name stuff.
Yes. We have the Dirty D-Wags against the Street Profits. And you got RK-Bro on commentary. I loved RK-Bro on commentary because we never hear Orton on commentary. His word carries a lot of weight. Riddle's does not, but it's a nice contrast. And I thought this match was really good. I've seen it, I feel like, a billion times, but there's still stuff that I like. There was a catapult into a DDT that I thought was really, really amazing. And Randy Orton was like putting people over during this match, and that works really, really well. But you don't seem like you enjoy this that much, Denise.
Sean, you know when you're driving and you zone out and then you come back and you're like, what the frick? Like, what happened? Oh, shit, I wasn't really paying attention. Damn, I don't know how I made it over here. That's exactly what happened to me during this match. I'm sorry. I have seen this match a zillion times. I was dead during this match. I'm sorry. And when the parts that I did pay attention to, the crowd wasn't into it. I saw people full on looking at each other, having conversations in the front row. And I was watching them have a conversation.
Did you see that shitty call in the Bengals Jets game? Yeah, I did. It was one of the worst of all time.
John, I don't want to say anything anymore because I'm just going to hurt your feelings.
Denise, check your mentions. I tagged you in it, says Anakin.
Thank you, Anakin. I appreciate it.
So another weird thing happens. The whole finish was so stupid. The finish and the aftermath made me go, why did I watch this? Denise, Montez Ford, a former tag team champion, is on the top rope and Omos's music hits. And I don't know what it is about WWE where they think that people need to be like, music? What? And then lose. How do they book people to be this stupid to where they're like, music? No way. Well, that's Omos's music, so I better hurry because he's going to get down here real quick as if that man is lumbering down there. Why the hell do you give a damn? Either he's going to get you DQ'd, or you can just hit your frog splash and win. So weird. Why
Sean, didn't
this?
You say you liked this show? This is the same thing you did to me last week. You said you liked it, and then you didn't like anything on it.
I like plenty of stuff on it. I like the action in the ring. In fact, most of the stuff that I like, we haven't talked about yet. But
all right, well, I just wanted to
mention a bunch
up.
Of things I liked. Orton, I liked the DDT. I liked the in ring action.
Yeah, but you're finding like very specific things. It's like, oh, I like the way Matt Riddle smiled.
Denise,
you know, like, come on.
I know that in the middle of all your trolling, you might have forgotten this, but
what?
That's our job.
Okay, fine. I was trying to find stuff, Sean. I'm sorry. This Raw was rough for me. Okay. I really tried. You didn't read my DM in 3 hours, Sean.
I read it. I didn't reply.
I had 7 tweets only about Raw. I got so bored.
How are you going to make it?
I was tweeting about Christmas.
I mean, there you go. And then another weird snafu. They're playing it up. Orton's going to go after Omos. And then, bam, they cut to a Damian Priest backstage interview and vignette. What the hell is with tonight? That was so weird. It was so weird.
I don't know what to tell you. This was a rough one for me. I'm sorry.
Very dumb. Orlando says, any word on AJ Styles? Maybe he's taking time off. I'll have an update if I can. Jam Beard says, music, everyone's one weakness. Boy, ain't that the truth. Jam Beard says, Veer got the reverse WWE treatment. He grew an extra name.
That is true. Congratulations, yeah. Veer.
We've got a super chat. Oh, well, thank you very much. Injection says, I'd love for you to be Wyndham's first interview. Well, I doubt that I will be. He seems like the kind of guy that would do something on his own.
I didn't know he was directing that towards you. Didn't say Sean on it.
Yeah, I guarantee you it's me. Anyway, FightfulSelect.com. There have been a lot of reports about Bray Wyatt and, you know, Wyndham and what led to his departure and some of the things that happened before then. I've got a story that I would highly doubt would be refuted by him coming to Fightful Select tomorrow. And it's got some Vince McMahon elements, some creative elements, some Fiend elements. It's going to get people talking, I think, because it's a very interesting one. It ties into Randy Orton, WrestleMania, a lot of unhappiness around that. FightfulSelect.com. Go ahead and subscribe. Well, Denise, backstage, we've got Zelina cutting promos in her British accent, which I enjoy, but I think it would have been funnier if Nikki and Rhea talked to her in an American accent while she did it.
Okay, but fine. Then, that would have been funny.
That would have been funny.
Done that.
But that's where the good ends to me, because this is another women's tag title reign that they keep booking like they suck, like they don't mean shit. We're talking two former women's champions this year, Denise, booked like shit. And you know what we're going to get, Denise? This same match again. That's what's going to happen.
So we're going to get this match a million times, but here's my thing. Okay, what did I miss? When did Carmella and Zelina become besties? Because I missed that part.
Months ago.
No, they were besties already?
Yes.
Oh, damn, my bad. Oh, okay, the contract signing. Okay, I remember that. Sorry, it took me a second. For me, in terms of like this whole story, this is where I have to start off with. This has been like my pet peeve, Sean. I sound like a broken record, but it's like they keep mixing everything in together. And I was I don't know if I was hoping, but I guess like I kind of wanted to see maybe them do something creatively different with Zelina now that she was, you know, the queen of the ring and all of that. And I don't know what I was realistically expecting, but I kind of got a little bit just like, we're going into this title picture and now her and Carmella are teaming together. Okay, fine, I guess. But for Nikki and Rhea Ripley, it's like their idea of them as a tag team made sense in the beginning. And I was here for it. I really was, because I knew they weren't going to be in the title picture, etc. But now I'm thinking, okay, now they're kind of have the same thing that Nia and Shayna had. When Nia and Shayna were tag team partners, you were just kind of like, okay, they need to break them up already. Like, this is it. Like, this isn't going anywhere. This isn't getting any better. It's the exact same thing. That's kind of how I feel right now for Rhea and Nikki, where it's like it started off good and there was a good concept there, but they never fully executed that concept. So now it's kind of like these two girls are stuck together because there's no other option for them. And at this point, I'm like, I'd rather see them separately in, like, you know, I don't know, being in the mid card for the women than rather than being in this tag team division picture. But it's just hard because they don't have women that are solely dedicated to the tag team division, women that are solely dedicated to, you know, being, you know, single stars in terms of, like, you know, pursuing the Raw yes. Women's Championship, SmackDown Women's Championship, whatever you want to call it, well, for whatever brand we're talking about. So for me, it's like, it doesn't mean anything.
Yep, and they backed themselves into that corner. I'll say it every time. Adding the NXT women's tag team titles stifled that. It stifled a whole lot of people, and it was unnecessary. It slowed them down. I don't know why they did
also,
it.
Also, I hate to be nitpicky, Sean. I really, really sure. do. But the mask thing, as a girl takes care of my skin, every time I put a mask on and I have sensitive skin, I break the hell out. So you're talking about Carmella using this mask to protect her face. If you think about it, it doesn't really make sense because the material on your skin and you're sweating while you're wrestling, technically, it's kind of harming you instead of helping you and protecting your look. So somebody came up with this idea, clearly did not know what it's like to be somebody that wears makeup and has skincare products going in the ring and wrestling with a full mask on your face.
Sorry. Yeah, this gimmick sucks. I wish they would move on. Carmella does her best to make the best of everything, but the "Hey, I'm hot" character can only go so far. Nerd Guru says, "I'd love for the Raw Women's Mania match to be Becky versus Bianca versus Rhea. Rhea is so dead in the water, it's depressing. It's their own doing, too." Cameron Johnson says, "Go Cincinnati Bengals. They are great. The best team in the NFL." Thank
you. Is that your burner, Sean?
Cyclops says, "Why are you even a Jets fan? It's been a horrible 4 years."
Jeffrey says, "I'm loyal."
Jeffrey says, "I'm torn. I hate the Jets, but love a good troll." Well, you're going to love this. Blocked. Shauna Walensky says, "Here's a fun fact. The Jets suck and haven't won a Super Bowl this millennium. And are
when did the Bungles win one? Tell me, Sean, when was that?
You can't even intentionally call them the Bungles. Consistently one of the worst teams, just saying.
Sean, tell me when.
Shauna says, "Zelina, Carmella being the mean girls lost me. I'm tired of women attacking other women for being different. Why does it have to be like this?"
That's the only storyline we get.
Across every promotion, it's LOL, you're ugly. And I'm like, God damn. I didn't like it when Britt and Thunder Rosa did it. I don't like it here. I just don't like it.
You need to start a feud between Kate and I. I'll be like, "Oh, well, she's ugly." And then Kate will be like, "Yeah, well, she's ugly, bitch."
That is a skit that I will tell you to film and then we'll never follow up on. Jam Beard says, "Mask Mella sounds like a Johnny Ace idea." Guys, you all greatly overstate how much input Johnny Ace has on stuff like that. You really do. Well, we had a really good match with Finn Balor and Chad Gable. I loved every damn thing about this. I loved the booking of the match. I love that Chad Gable stayed strong. The actual match kicked ass. The moonsault was great. I liked the pin off of the superplex. It was Finn Balor pinning a heel clean with a good pin. And then he got the hell out of there. And Chad Gable looked awesome. He hung in there with a universal champion. This is what these people who you don't have in the world title scene, the U.S. title scene, should be doing. They have competitive matches. That way, whenever somebody beats them, it looks like it means something, Denise. That way, it's not just crushing them in 2 minutes and that's it. This Chad Gable has use. I loved everything about this. I thought this was one of my favorite things on the show tonight.
I have a question for you, though, Sean. Based on how embarrassingly Finn Balor lost and how things necessarily haven't been going his way, though, I don't think it would have... I loved this match, okay? Don't get me wrong, sure. But I don't think it would have killed them to give him a dominant victory here.
Sure. I don't disagree with that.
But in terms of, like, the actual match, dude, I was just so happy to see something new, something fresh. And the second I was like, all right, I know we're getting Chad Gable, Finn Balor. I'm expecting a good wrestling match, and we got a nice wrestling match. So I was a fan of this. I like that they even thought to put this match together. I even laughed at Chad Gable's line at the top of this when he said that he's going to turn the prince into a peasant. I was like, all right. I cackled a little bit. This is great.
I like that. I thought everything about this was good. The match itself kicked so much ass. This was what I want to see on Raw. If this would have kicked off Raw, I would have been happy with it. Sure, a little less attractive as far as marquee value than Bianca and Becky by far, but a great, great match. This was awesome. This is what I want to see more of on Raw. You're building up Finn Balor, presumably to take on Big E somewhere down the line. So keep giving him wins. What I don't want to see them do is, like, right before he loses and then they give him the title shot, which is what they do so much.
Yeah. They should use this. And I know that Finn Balor used this in his promo when he was when they were setting up that four-way ladder match, him being, former NXT champion, etc. They should use that more. Speaking of the argument that we were having earlier about them incorporating some of those NXT accolades, do that for Finn Balor in this if you want to, help boost the guy up.
I agree. Guys, get your super chats in and get your questions or statements read on the air, and leave a thumbs up if you don't mind. R26 saying the Joshi article in the new Fightful Mag was A++. It was really, really great. Fightfulmag.com over there. Make sure you guys check that out as well. Razor says we need Fightful BTE type skits. We do them every so often. It's just a matter of actually getting together and filming them and doing stuff like that. But I haven't in a while. Although I did repost.
Doesn't Jeremy do them?
Jeremy does them all the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy does them all the time. I've gotten a little busy for that. But I did do a Grinch song for Denise last year that was
Year. You got to re-upload that, like, come Christmas season and, like, repost it up in a brand new tweet.
So much work. I don't know how I found the time to do that, but it was worth every second. As I did it, I was like, I should be doing something more important right now. I really should. What else we got on this show? Oh, boy. Another thing that I love, Denise.
What was... Oh, Damian Priest?
Yes. He and T-Bar beat the shit out of each other. It ruled. There were two spots in particular. Three that I really loved. One, Damian Priest made that table explode. And then T-Bar, off the second rope, did a choke slam backbreaker. Holy crap. And the Super Samoan Drop. It seemed like the last couple of weeks that a focus has been put on wrestling, in-ring wrestling more. This is what they should have had T-Bar doing the last year.
This is definitely what they should have been doing with him, like you said, for the last year. In terms of, like, the table spot was great. T-Bar... tying up Damian Priest in the ropes and just, like, smacking him nonstop. Did you see Damian Priest's stomach?
Yes.
After that, he had all the marks of the candlestick shots on his stomach. That was good. I mean, I like this. This was probably, to me, the thing that felt the most different on this show. And I know that Finn Balor, Chad Gable felt different on this show, but this match, to me, kind of felt like, okay, there's some effort being put into this, at least this. So I did this.
And, I thought for a second, like, okay, maybe T-Bar will end up winning this somehow because it's WWE and you know how they book shit. But they made him look like a threat tonight. He looked like a threat. And he should have looked like a threat a long time ago. He should have been put in this spot. I believed every single thing that he did, every offensive maneuver I bought. This is the type of guy Vince always liked, the really big dude. Now, a lot of times he'd like them as broad as a barn. That's just not the way that athletes are built these days. They're built like athletes, like these two people are. They can do incredible athletic things. You got people running the ball up the floor in the NBA that are 6 foot eight. So, I mean, let your wrestling reflect athleticism in the world as well. Sheldon says, T-Bar and Priest had a good match, but Priest's new theme. Priest's new theme is terrible. My God, no wonder we can't have nice things. It fit him a little more tonight. It seemed like he... Why are you shaking your head, Denise?
Because I love the old song. Oh, I love so the old much. Theme, too. So sorry. Like, when you were up here, like, I can't. It was my favorite theme song. So everything else was just good. They were going to have to find something better, and this wasn't better. We just had this conversation, too, in our song ranking.
Yeah, it was way, way better. It was. I felt like this week he was feeling it a lot more than last week. He had workshopped it, the entrance, a little bit more. It's just like, why move from what you had?
I think this. They did it. Yeah. I mean, they did because of obviously the character change, and they don't want him having, you know, coming out here and doing the, you know, all of the stuff that he was doing prior. So I get why they did it, but it still makes me sad.
Kenshiro says, commentary calling Priest the walking embodiment of the eternal struggle between good and evil, gave me flashbacks to my college writing workshops. It's such a weird thing. You know, they're going to fit into every single match that he's got.
Well, people don't really talk like that. You're the embodiment of good of eternal evil struggle. I can't even say it.
You made it sound way more normal than it was. This guy is effortlessly cool. Like, every time I see Damian Priest, I'm like, he seems like a cool dude. Seems like somebody you would hang out with. Seems like just somebody who could whip everybody's ass. And yeah. And Phil even mentioned, he explained to me why he did the archer gimmick. Then they just dropped it. Because he actually likes archery, and he dug that. Matt James says, last week they were talking about a Priest heel turn, or we were talking about one, and now we're getting Apollo Crews in there. Why can't we get Lee versus Priest? When the music hit, Denise, I was like, is that like Bearcat Lee's music? Because that would make sense. No, it's Apollo freaking Crews. Fantastic athlete, fantastic performer. This gimmick sucks ass.
It doesn't, it's for so some bad. Reason. It okay, on SmackDown, it was tolerable. Like, it got by. On Raw, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Like, I don't know why I tolerated it on, you know, SmackDown, but for some reason, it's not sticking properly on Raw. Well,
you know what happened the last time you saw Apollo on SmackDown? He was losing an Intercontinental title match to Nakamura. You know what happened before that?
What?
He was losing like a 10-man tag on SmackDown. You know what happened before that? He was losing a tag match on SmackDown. What happened before that? He was losing his title on SmackDown. What happened before that? He was losing a contenders match on SmackDown. How about before that? A 6-man tag. How about before that? Another tag. How about before that? He lost a Money in the Bank qualifying match. That's what you've seen of Apollo Crews on SmackDown. He won a match on Main Event last week, but nobody knows that except for me, because I'm the only one who watches it because it's my job. You have a guy come over off of 8 straight losses.
Audience one.
My God.
Okay.
After he won the Intercontinental title, he held that title for 4 months, and he successfully defended it. Like, I think 1 or 2 times, and he just lost all the way around. Like, they have completely nerfed him. I do not give a damn about this character, and that's a shame, because I love Apollo Crews as a performer.
You haven't even gotten into his Raw stuff, what he was doing before that.
I don't want to think about it.
I feel bad because for a while, I think that, you know, this new character, and they gave him a lot of, you know, they gave him Commander Aziz. They gave him, you know, this, you know, they gave him mic time on SmackDown, and they gave him a lot. And for a second, it was working, and then it just all completely unraveled, and it's just not working. Like I said on Raw, it's just not working.
Like, I do not buy that Apollo Crews is going to beat Damian Priest, but the reality is he's going to beat Damian Priest. He's going to beat him in a non-title championship contenders match, because Commander Aziz, looking like a cartoon character, is going to throw him into the table or hit him or something, and Apollo Crews is going to sneak out a victory. That's what's going to happen. Joe Wood says, I think a Priest heel turn is coming, usually when they start taking away everything the fans cheered for as the entrance.
I thought it was already here.
you would think. Oh, I loved the camera zooming in on his face after the table spot.
Oh, that was cool to me. Yeah, that was cool. I liked like him just basically looking like all pissed and stuff, but like amped about it. Yeah, that was good stuff.
And him dropping T-bar on his head and that finish was good too. Jambeard saying Priest being half good and half bad feels like they're trying to recreate Aleister Black. He's never truly evil. He's never truly good. Yeah, it seems like they were like, oh, maybe that guy was onto something. And then,
I don't know, man. I found that one truly confusing.
Well, Denise.
Am I fired? What's Lex?
If you were, I would rest a lot easier. But fortunately, I'm resting really well already with helixsleep.com/fightful. Let me tell you guys, last year I was in the market for a new mattress. And what I did not want to do is go to a mattress store. Well, why is that? Well, the pandemic was last year and I didn't want to roll around on some mattress that a sweat hog like Denise was rolling around on. I didn't want to just go over there and just spend time and waller on a mattress that Tom Gee was on. That's a giraffe right there. You don't want that at all. But helixsleep.com/fightful has your answer. No matter what kind of sleeper you are, you go there, you take the quiz, and you get matched up for the perfect mattress for you. You wouldn't buy a mattress for somebody else. Why would you? You go there, you test it out. Well, with Helix Sleep, you don't have to do that. They have soft, medium, firm mattresses, ones that cool you down, ones that align your spine, ones that are for plus size sleepers as well. I used to just be a back sleeper. Now I'm also a side sleeper because this mattress has worked out so well for me. I matched up with the Dusk Lux model. And if you're looking for a mattress, you take this quiz, you order it, you get matched up, it ships to your door for free. You don't have to go to a mattress store again. And it's got a 10-year warranty. You try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows. Those pillows have changed my life as well. When you go to helixsleep.com/fightful, also hit them up on Twitter @helixsleep. I love it. It has changed my sleep quality. I used to sleep on a slab of memory foam, and now I don't. And my lower back pain has went away. A lot of my neck pain has went away. I broke my neck about 12 years ago, and this has helped it so, so much. It has me living much more comfortably than I used to live. It's the top overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. Real mature, Denise. I'm sure our sponsors love that.
Why do you put me on camera? Am I muted? Oh, sorry. I thought I was muted. Why you put me on camera then? Take me off the camera.
I'm paying you.
You have the power.
You off the microphone right now. So we've got Seth Rollins and Big E out for a promo. Seth Rollins doing his little braggy stuff. Big E confronts him, and they are interrupted by Kevin Owens. And Seth Rollins had been challenged by Big E already, and Seth's like, nah, I don't want to do that. No thanks, bro. But Kevin Owens comes out, and he's like, well, I want a match with Big E. I had no idea they never wrestled before. They have never had a singles match, Denise. So they set it never, ever. So they set it up for tonight. What did you think of the promo that preceded the match?
Well, I think we need to talk about are we talking yet about the Kevin Owens line where he said the 3 years and 3 months stuff?
Yes. Kevin Owens said, no matter if I'm here for 3 months or 3 years, I'm always going to give these fans something to remember. His contract legitimately is up in 3 months.
Do you think that was an Easter egg in the terms of, hey, he's leaving at 3 months, or hey, he's going to be signing an additional 3 years? What does that mean, Sean? Should I be reading in between the lines?
Okay, so I know a little bit about this situation, but what I'm about to talk about, I don't know. So I would assume that if he signs with WWE again, it would be for 3 years. I think that was a reference. Now, I don't know if they've offered him a new deal. I don't know if they've offered him a 3-year deal. It just seems like to me, based on me knowing that his deal is up in 3 months, that he's probably got a 3-year deal on the table. That is me saying, I think, please, websites, do not report me as saying that I reported that, because I didn't. I think that absolutely was an Easter egg, Denise. I think that's him saying, hey, guys, I'm weighing my options. Am I going to leave in 3 months, or am I going to sign a new 3-year deal? I think it's what he was saying.
Yeah, I feel like he wouldn't have been so specific in the number that he said. And you could get away with it easy, right? Because you can be like, oh, yeah, like 5 months, 5 days, 5 hours, right? That's such a common thing to say. It could possibly mean nothing. But when you already know the whole 3-month thing and then he says the 3-year thing, you can't help but to read into that. And Kevin Owens seems like the guy that would kind of have fun with the people and kind of, you know, throw something in there to get people thinking. So he could be there jerking us around or being legit.
Did you notice the Big E line? Big E said there can only be one face of Monday Night Raw. This isn't Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore was the group Kevin Owens was in with the Young Bucks and Adam Cole.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I love that stuff. And if you're WWE and you get wind of that, lean into it. People love this type of stuff. It makes you feel a little bit more rewarded. Mike New York says, did Vince forget that Survivor Series is the next pay-per-view? It's likely. By the way, guys, send a super chat. We are heading down the home stretch. We're at the main event already. Nerd Guru says KO could be booked to absolute crap on the way out, yet he will still take these crazy bumps for us. He loves the fans. I'll always love KO, but be all elite. I think Kevin Owens has got a place, either place.
You know what? Like, for me, I think it depends on what they look. If I'm WWE, I would put and I want to keep Kevin Owens, mm-hmm. which I'm sure they do. I would do everything in my power to be adding some very interesting storylines to basically convince him, like, hey, like, look at what we did with you the last 3 months. Hey, this is our plan moving forward, what we can do for you. Now, again, that's me thinking in terms of wanting to keep an employee. Now, will that happen? That's a totally different story.
To me, that's what you do. To me, you don't bury somebody. You show them that they're valuable, and you show them that you book them like Adam Cole. You book them like Bryan Danielson. Now, granted, did those work out for them? No, they didn't. But look at how Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson are talking about the company on the way out. I had people in a story that I reported this weekend in WWE that are like, yeah, we think the door is very open for Bryan Danielson.
And yeah, I mean, like, they just got to do what they got to do. That's it. They got to at least try. That's the thing. Like, they got to at least try, maybe put some effort to, you know, maybe get him thinking about this and not have it be such an easy decision.
Yeah. JW Pringle says Rollins stole his grandmother's couch and wore it as a suit tonight. Shame for Mr. Rollins, for shame. Stephen Levi says, love the subtle references to KO or in the KO Seth Big E promo. The Owens contract, Homelander, Mount Rushmore, and a lot of matches. They did. It was a very good in-ring night, and this match was a part of it. But, oh my God, Kevin Owens squished Big E like 3 times. The cannonball, the senton, the swanton. Holy crap.
That's the thing, Kevin. Like, I've been saying this, and it was true. When Kevin Owens says, like, he'll bring it, like, no matter what night he's on, it's the truth. Doesn't matter what card he's on. Doesn't matter who he's wrestling. Doesn't matter if it's on a pay-per-view, if it's a title, non-title. It does not matter. He literally brings a lot of excitement to what he does in the ring. I thought this was perfectly fine. I honestly wish that I would have been more interested on some of the other stuff that happened in the show, because by the time we got to this main event, I was worn the hell out, and it did unfortunately take away some of my interest in the main event. More so, if I would have had a lot, you know, had the show been good leading up to the main event, I would have felt a little bit more invested. But unfortunately, it did take me out a little bit. And even with the Seth interference, I didn't really feel like it took away from the match. It was fine. Yeah. I thought this was a good main event, a good way to end the night.
Loved the match. Seth tried to get Kevin Owens to sort of join up with him. He's like, listen, I help you tonight. Maybe you help me down the line. I give you the first title shot. And Owens is like, no. But Owens sees Rollins interfere and still tries to capitalize on it. Big E wins anyway, which a fantastic match. And Big E does not trust Kevin Owens afterwards. He's like, I saw that. I know what happened. And Kevin Owens is like, listen, man, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Kevin Owens, on his own self-fulfilling character arc since turning babyface Denise, has been, I know I was a piece of shit. I'm trying to not be a piece of shit. He references it constantly, constantly. And he's in there with maybe the other guy who is the best at trying to make everything matter, Big E. And Big E hits him with a big ending, and he's like, I haven't forgotten you. He's like, I know you're the guy that showed up and said your name was Big O and teamed with the New Day and then turned on them. He's like, I have not forgotten about you. I love that, Denise. Why wouldn't he?
I did too, because a lot of the times, you know, they make the champions look dumb. This was Big E basically saying, I'm not going to be an idiot and I'm not going to fall for this stuff. So I like the fact that Big E didn't just necessarily be like, all right, cool, we're on the same page. Nah, he reacted, and I thought that it made him to me a stronger, more respectable champion. Like, it just added to his character and to his depth, and, you know, as a champion. I thought it added so much to him.
Joel Wood says, I'm confused why WWE would invest time in teasing Kevin Owens' heel turn later in the night if he's just going to leave in 3 months. Well, stay confused, because there is nothing set. Like, they don't have a guarantee he's going to stay. So that's what they're doing. They are teasing a turn, and he might leave in 3 months. I mean, I can't give you I can't make it make sense to you, but they do that type of stuff all the time. They do it to cater to whatever it is that their story needs to be. Jambeard says Seth came to Raw dressed as a pumpkin pie. Amazing.
And they were both wearing orange, so it was like, yeah, I feel like I'm seeing two pumpkins. It was great. I like it. I can never guess Seth Rollins' outfits every week. He always
I swear he's got to rent those. There's no way. Surely he didn't buy them all.
You never know. I mean, some people invest a lot in a certain thing. Like, some people collect certain things and they don't care. Like, they'll invest all their money in it. That might be his thing.
Luis says, just for Sean, Big O Wangston. That's probably my favorite interview clip ever. Ty Noel says, I'm ready for Kevin to go back to Kevin Steen and be on screen with the Bucks and Cole in the next couple of months. Well, it won't be the next couple of months. It'll take at least three, my friend. But I think a lot of people are as well. I think a change of pace for Owens, even for a couple years, would probably be a good thing. But I guess we'll see.
Do you remember what Bryan Danielson said in that post-media scrum, when he said that it wasn't necessarily that he felt like he had a bad relationship, you know, with WWE or anything like that. Yeah. You know, he put over Vince, he put over WWE. And then he says, when he compared it to marriage and basically said, like, oh, like, you know, but it was safe and he wanted something different. I almost feel like that could be essentially, you know, aligned with the exact same thing that, you know, Kevin Owens might be like, all right, well, I already know what to expect from here. I don't know what to expect from AEW.
Jambeard says, I've heard this show was Alex, a.k.a. Tony D'Angelo's favorite episode of Raw. Couldn't stop tweeting about how much he loved it. Alex Palowski hated this episode of Raw. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com and hear Sour Graps. I think he'll probably do it tomorrow night. Avery Duncan says, I've been praying for heel KO prize fighter to come back, and hopefully he comes back soon and wins the title around Chamber in February. Well, that would mean that he's re-signed a new deal or he signed an extension. So if that were the case, that would mean a long-term deal, I would assume. Brian Doyle says, I thought it was a bit of a heel move for Big E to drop Owens like that post-match, given KO apologized. It made Big E look bad as a face. I disagree. It made him look smart. Why would he trust him?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. It didn't make him look like an idiot. Like, he's smarter than that.
Like, Big E, Kevin Owens said sorry? Who gives a shit? He was mad. Who cares? I don't think it makes him look bad at all. Some of the biggest baby faces in wrestling do heelish stuff. Most of the stuff that Steve Austin did would have been perceived as heel stuff to an awful lot of people. Guys, again, leave a thumbs up on this video. I'm interviewing Mandy Rose tomorrow. Well, I've interviewed her. The interview goes up tomorrow. We talk NXT, Sonya Deville, the Otis storyline, going back to NXT. Toxic Attraction, a lot of cool stuff there. Sheldon Jackson wraps us up by saying, fight Steen, fight. And I missed the package pile driver finisher. So does he. He told me in our interview a while back that he pushes for it to come back all the time. Denise, tell the people what you got going on. We did a video that released last week.
We did, and it did pretty well. And some people hated my ranking. Some people were still mad about you and what you did with Across the Nation, but whatever. So we ranked Forcible Entry over on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. Sean and I literally go through all 19 songs and talk about which ones we love and which ones we don't. Additionally, so you guys can go check out that video, which is really fun. And then additionally, today I interviewed Ruby Soho, and it was such a nice conversation. It felt so cool to have this like one-on-one conversation with her, and she talks about, you know, the TBS Women's Championship tournament, and then she also talks about she talks about working with Britt Baker, and then we do our 10 question lightning round. So it was like a nice half hour conversation. So if you want to get to know Ruby Soho just a little bit more, I think it's a pretty fun interview if you guys want to check it out. Also, the more love those interviews get, maybe, just maybe, I can keep trying to get more interviews, so hopefully that all works out.
Must be nice.
What are you talking about? Never mind. I will tell you afterwards. Where am I at?
I would love an AEW interview. I've had one through AEW all year.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo, Twitter and Instagram @_Denise Salcedo. Also, watch my reels on Instagram because Instagram's paying up and I need money. Damn.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram, by the way, because I would like for Fightful to get in on that. Instagram.com/FightfulOnline. Also, Alex Pawlowski is starting Sour Graps in like 5 minutes. So if you want a more negative review, FightfulSelect.com. That's the most direct way to support us. At the end of the month, we always have a bunch of drop-offs, cancellations, and stuff. Re-up. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.